think some of you have got it right. We maybe don't want to sing loud because we don't want to spew on anybody. But we can clap loud, can't we? We can yeah, there's no hindrance on clapping loud. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy. We're going to be in 2 Timothy 3 first, and then we're going to go back to 2 Timothy 3 first, and then we'll go back to 2 Timothy 2. I'm so encouraged. I'm so excited. I do believe that this is, are y'all listening yet? I do believe that this is a great opportunity for individuals and for the church to look at everything that's going on from a different perspective. Amen? That what? God is sovereign and He is doing with this what He sees fit to do for His honor and His glory. Well, last week I began a series of sermons, and the gist of it is, what is the role of the church in this time of opportunity? From COVID-19 to racial unrest to political upheaval. And I would just say this too. I think I've got a new something that's going on. Listen, I don't remember the last time that I knew so many evil things that have happened in the last 30 days. Matter of fact, there has been so much evil in the last 30 days that I just know about, I can't keep track of it all. And it happens so quickly upon one another that I can't even keep it chronologically straight. So let me start with yesterday. Can you say Howard County? Howard County. We had a man who had on Thursday taken the life of a 50-year-old woman in Umpire. Can you say Howard County? Yesterday afternoon, about 12:30, he took his own life. Let's go to Thursday or Friday when he took the life of a 50-year-old woman, drove up to her house, went to her back door, shot and killed her. Can we go back Thursday or Wednesday in a church that we're very familiar with, within 50 miles of here? That a young man who had been taken in by a family in the church, I don't know if they had adopted him, but surely they had taken him in. And one day this week, he became angry and shot and killed the woman of the family who had taken him in. Wow. We can go back to a death. In a very wicked situation and alcohol involved of a 15-year-old. We can go back to the death in this county of a 29-year-old and a 16-year-old. Listen to me. These are evil times. And let me just tell you that it's not near as evil as it could get if God just raised His hand a tad more. Because, listen to me, are you listening carefully? We're going to look at Scripture. It's the nature of lost people to be evil. Are you with me? That's why you have law and order. Because there's only one thing that inhibits lost people from evil, and that's the repercussions of coming against the law. So this morning, last week, we looked at what is the role of the church during all of this evil. Well, this week, are y'all with me? We're going to look at specifically what is going on in America in the, quote, evangelical church. And what I'm going to tell you this morning that's going on in the quote evangelical church ought to worry you more than what I told you last week the church ought to be doing. So listen carefully this morning. So last week we started with Micah 6:8. You have these scriptures before you. Anybody need a sermon outline? All right, one right down here, Eddie. Anybody else? And he would need English unless Caesar's going to translate for him. Micah 6:8. He has told you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you? He's talking to followers of Jesus. Listen, he's talking to you and me. But to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. So in the midst of the evil and the virus and racial unrest and political upheaval, what should the church be doing? That scripture tells us we need to be about doing what is good. We need to love justice. And listen to me, we need to look out there and be sure that justice is being done. We need to be about being kind. We need to be working hard. Are y'all with me? In loving one another. And listen, the more social distancing we do, the harder it is to love one another. So we got to work at it. We need to humble ourselves, brothers and sisters in Christ, followers of Jesus. We need to humble ourselves and we need to take low. There's times in the life of a church and a pastor in which sometimes the pastor has to do a little more than preaching and pastoring. Sometimes he's got to inform the people about what's going on. And I'm going to take a little more time to do that in the future than I have in the past. So in your sermon outline, right after that, are three articles. I want you to listen carefully. Those three articles are going to challenge what you've been hearing on mainstream media. Are you with me? Now, I'm not going to tell you that those three articles, well, I want to tell you that if it's from J.C. Ryle and from Grace Jim, it's not biased at all. It's the truth straight out of God's Word. But I want to tell you that anything I put in there, I am confident of this. Are you listening? That person that I put in there is not going to lie to you. So you can read it. You may not like it, but I promise you, he is telling you the best he knows how, the truth. And I'll give you some examples today. Listen. This whole scenario, America right now, is being driven by fear. And there's no fear in the way that God does things. So we ought not to buy into it, really, at all. But we surely don't need to buy into it totally. We need to have some reason. Now, I told you last week that most of the news is biased, left or right, Christian or worldly, Republican, Democrat. It's biased. I'm telling you, the best I know how, the only thing that's going to influence the people that I put in for you to read is that they're godly people. So, this is that time that you're going to come to church and get a little bit of news. And so today you're going to get a little bit of news about what's going on in, quote, the church. And I'm going to tell you, it's probably more evil than what's going on in the world. So, we talked last week. Every day, you need to be thirsting and, oh, I so wish I could remember all the lines of songs. And we need to be thirsting after the Lord. We must have a great desire for Him. But every day, we need to be confessing our known and willful sin. We need to be people who are concerned and interested in all that's happening in the world so we can be prayerful about how to pray for things. We need to be compassionate towards people who are hurting, grieving. We need to be caring for those that are hurting. And listen to me, I promise you, if you'll do those three things, are y'all listening? Listen to me. If you're doing those three things, there's going to be an opportunity down the road for you to do some teaching. But it's probably not yet. So what's going on in the evangelical church? I'd kind of like to be like David Miller. Are you interested? Well, I want to do you the best job that I can to tell you what's going on in, quote, the evangelical church. Listen to me carefully. The enemy is out to eradicate from society and from the church not a, quote, God, but the God of the Bible. And listen to me. That battle is going on in the church. You either have a hierarchy, you either have a government, you either have a civilization that is either of God and spiritual, a people of the Bible, or you have a people, a society without a God. So here's what's happening. All of this is happening that the enemy might get rid of God's holy word. Listen to me. We're going to have a real push in Arkansas for more, quote, hate crime legislation and bills. You know where that's headed? That's headed that if I speak from this word, a statement right out of Scripture that is derogatory towards those people who are transgender and homosexual and all of that, I could be charged with a hate crime. Now, what is that literally doing? It's getting rid of God's word. And listen, whether they ever came and arrested me or not, a lot of preachers are going to be affected by the possibility of it. Now listen carefully. We sing that song, The Ancient Word. It's still true, just like it was 2,500 years ago. Now, listen to me. The battle has been and is going on. I'm telling you. They burned men at the stake in the 1500s for even publishing a page or two of this. Because there's always been an attempt to keep God's word out of the hands of the people. Well, guess what? They're wanting to take this word out of the hands of the people. There has been a constant attack on the accuracy of the Bible. From about 1980 until 10 years ago, there was a big talk about what's going on in the church. And what was going on in the church is, at that time, is this Bible in the original language true and accurate without error? Well, the conservatives kind of took a breath and went, well, I think we've won that battle for the main part. But today, we may have fought that battle, but we continue to fight a relentless attack on the Bible. Now listen carefully. Good intentioned men cave in every day with their attempt to align the Bible with modern science. I'll give you for example. Well, maybe the earth is millions of years old. And maybe that day, that 24 hour from morning to evening and from morning to morning, maybe it was thousands of years. Listen, it's not a preacher's responsibility to square up the Bible with science or philosophy or any other thing. It's all of their responsibility to line up with the Scripture. I'll give you another example. Preachers are tempted to please man rather than please God. Guess what? That is a direct attack on God's Word. Well, how about this? How about an attempt to be politically correct? Listen, did y'all know that we don't just have LGBTQT or TQ anymore? Did you see in my little notes there? We now have all of that A+. You know what? You know where it's all going? It's all going to, we are going to affirm any sexual, devious, ungodly act that somebody might imagine. Now listen to me. And look, you're not just going to be called to say, oh, okay, it's okay what they do. The plus is, you're going to be required to approve of it. They're not going to give up on winning the word battle. They're not going to give up until you and I affirm, listen, their sexual deviancy. That's happening. It's happening in the evangelical church. There is an attack on the first 11 chapters of Genesis. There's an attack on the order that was established there. In the church, race, evolution. If you haven't looked at, I don't even know what it's called. Bob probably can tell us. But that little stair step of how man became a man, you want to talk about something racist? That's one of the most racist pictures I've ever looked at in my life. The role of women. Listen, there's a war going on in the church that not only are they created equal spiritually, but they're to be equal in every facet in the home and in the church. That's a direct attack on the truth of God's Word. How about sexuality? Listen to me. We are saying, to be politically correct, some are saying that maybe God made a mistake when He made you either a biological male or a biological female. Now listen, next week there's going to be an article in your information that if you have a young lady, a daughter, a granddaughter, an acquaintance, it ought to scare you to death. You're going to see what's going on in America. It's an epidemic. So now we're in the midst of fighting the battle. Listen, we fought it over, is it true without error? Hang on now. Now we're fighting the battle over whether this is sufficient to solve the problem of evil. Is it sufficient to solve the problem of racism? are women's rights and feminism? And is it sufficient to solve the problem of how God made a boy and a girl? Is it sufficient? And we have to be very careful of how things sneak in that's not of God's Word, how it sneaks in, and by it sneaking in and us accepting it, we are saying, this is not sufficient. Today I pray that we might see that giving in to and agreeing, listen, with people who say that we need other resources to solve these complex issues is really saying that what is God's completed and finished work is not sufficient. So the question for you, is the Bible sufficient to deal with the complex issues of today? Since yesterday, I would add another one. The evil in the world. I will tell you, there's nothing to deal with the evil in the world. Nothing outside God's Word, God's Spirit, and God Himself. Nothing. Because evil men, unrestrained, y'all with me? Unrestrained by God, or unrestrained by the law of the land, are going to gravitate towards evil. Read Romans 1. And it'll get worse and worse. Racism. I want you to carefully begin to think about the definitions today of a word and the definition of the word just 5 years ago. If you defined a racist today and went back to what a racist 5 years ago was, you wouldn't even recognize them. Racism, the disdain, the hatred of a people because of their being a part of a, quote, another people's group that are different from us. Misogyny, that's not a very big word, but pretty big. A misogynist is someone that oppresses women and do not allow with them what they think they ought to do, and they are people who, quote, are oppressing women by not allowing them to do everything in the home, in the church, in society that a man does. And homophobia. It's the title that you get put on you when you judge a person because of their sexual orientation. Now listen to me carefully. I want you to hear this. I am not judging the spiritual eternity of anybody. I am judging the fruit of their lives. And I am saying that the fruit of their lives, if they're heterosexual perverts or transgender perverts or homosexual perverts, I'm judging not them and their eternity. I'm judging their actions. So what does the Bible, the Word of God, say? Follow your notes, and you, please turn to 2 Timothy, and we're going to look at chapter 2. I'm going to give you another verse. I'm so thankful for Russ. Russ does such a great job of reading what's before and what's after. So number one, what does God's Word say? The Bible is sufficient. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work, for every situation, for every task. The Bible fully equips us in and through and by the Spirit of God and Christ living in us. The Bible is sufficient. 2 Timothy 2:15 and 16, and this is where you're going to need your Bible open because you don't have verse 16. 2 Timothy 2, I'll begin in verse 14 since you're there. I'm also going to cover this in Colossians, so you'll see it again. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. Remind them of these things and charge them before God to not quarrel about words, which does no good but only ruins the hearers. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. The word of truth is sufficient to handle all situations. But look at verse 16. But avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them were Hymenaeus and Philetus, who swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. They are upsetting the faith of some, but God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Listen to me. Just because they're on TV and getting paid big money to look good and to be a talking head, listen, I'm telling you, if they are those that believe in the killing of the unborn, they are saying nothing but nonsense. They're saying nothing but babble, and you got no business listening to those wicked, evil people. Because you can be led astray by what you hear. So the Bible is sufficient. Number two, the problem is sin. Point blank, the problem is sin. It is wickedness. Have we ever been here before? Surely, there's more than two people. Maybe, surely, there's more than Abraham and his family. But listen to this. Genesis 6, 5. You remember chapter 1, 31? And he saw everything was made. It was what? Good. Then we get over into chapter 2, and after he made man and woman, he said, and it's very good. Then we remember chapter 3 when Adam and Eve were deceived and believed a lie. And we had the fall. And then in chapter 6, look what happened. Genesis 6, 5. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was what? Great in the earth, and that, what a word, every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Listen, I'm telling you, that's the way a lost world will be when God removes his hand. The only thing holding back evil in America are two things. The hand of God hasn't been completely removed yet, in my opinion, and law and order. Otherwise, we have no idea where wickedness might go. The Bible's sufficient. The problem is sin. And listen to me carefully. I can tell you from judging myself. Did y'all hear that word? I can tell you from examining my thoughts and my behavior. I can tell you from personal experience that what I'm about to tell you in verse 3, or point 3, is true. The problem for people and the reason they do things is not because what's going on out here in their environment or in their home or in their school. The problem with people is in here. Look at the scripture. He said, what comes out of a man or a person is what defiles him. For from where? Nope, it was his family, it was his raising, it was his education, it was the job he had, it was the circumstances that he was in. No. What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, that's greed, wickedness, deceit, sexual sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these things come from where? Where does evil come from? Where does racism come from? Where does wanting to oppress different people groups, like women? Where does the sexual deviancy that's going on, where does all that come from? And it doesn't matter if it's heterosexual or homosexual. What's the scripture say? In here. The Bible is sufficient. The problem is sin. And the problem is in here, not out here. You know where this is going? You know where this could go? What did Eve tell God? Come on now. It was the serpent. Huh? What did Adam tell God? Oh, it was that woman you gave me. Wow, two accusations. It was Jeannie and you, God, because you gave Eve to me. What I'm telling you, men, you all know it's not your wife's fault that you're bad. It comes to us naturally. That is what we got from that booger Adam. A sinful nature. So listen to me. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time here because I've spent plenty of time and you ought to have this by now. So the problem is not to fix out here. Not to fix society or fix culture or fix education. Sure, we ought to be doing all we can to make all of that better, but the fix is not out here. The fix is God doing something in here. And what is that? It's taking a wicked, evil, spiritually dead man and making him alive spiritually, making him a child of God. Look at the scripture. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, spiritually you might say, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water, unless one is cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and unless God gives him a new heart and a new spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. This is not something, listen to me carefully, that man nor society can fix. It's a God thing. Verse 6, that which is born of flesh is flesh. It's what we got from Adam. That's what we got from our daddy's men. And that which is born of spirit is spirit. Verse 7, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is of everyone who is born of the Spirit. The Bible is sufficient. The problem is sin. The problem is not out here, but in here. And the problem is not to fix the out there, but to fix the in here. And the last thing, and this really kind of pulls it all together. So what does the Bible say? We'll go back in your notes to 2 Timothy. Chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work, equipped for every situation, equipped for every problem. 2 verses 15 and 16. 2 Timothy 2, verses 16, 15 and 16. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth, but avoid irreverent babble. Listen. Avoid listening to somebody's opinion. Avoid listening to psychology and sociology and all those other lologies. Avoid them. But avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness. And it will spread like gangrene. It will spread like the virus. But I want you to look at Colossians 2:8. Colossians 2:8. So after I read verse 8, if you'll just look at me and listen, I'm going to read a few more verses. This is exactly what's happening in the evangelical church. Describes it to a T. Listen, and I would tell you this, that at least 75% of the evangelical church is swallowed the hook, line, and sinker. 75% of the evangelical church wants some excuse to be politically correct. And they don't need much of an excuse. So just say a couple of things that might make logical, practical sense. And just give them a little hope that this might work and they'll swallow it. And I want to tell you what's going to happen to the church. It's going to have God and God's Word ripped right out of it. Just like you'd snatch a hook out of a fish's mouth that has swallowed the hook. You know what it's doing? It's snatching God and God's Word out of the, quote, evangelical church. Colossians 2:8. See to it that no one takes you. Not just the preacher, you. Get in the Word. Know what God's Word says. Believe it, live by it, embrace it. Tell somebody, if you can't show me that in God's Word, I don't have time to listen to you. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit. Listen to this. According to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits or philosophies or whatever's of the world, and not according to Christ. Now listen to verse 9. I'm going to read just a little bit more. I'm going to start in verse 8 again. Y'all just look at me and listen. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Listen to this. For in Him, Christ, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in Him, who is the head of all rule and authority. Listen, there's no authority that the church or Christian should listen to outside the authority of Almighty God and His Word. Verse 11, in Him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ, talking about being born again, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised Him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all of our trespasses by canceling the record of death that stood against us with its legal demands. This He set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers, the authorities, and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Him. There's no triumphing over evil. There's no triumphing over racism. There's no triumphing over the supposed oppression of women in the modern church, nor the supposed suppression of people because we won't allow them to live without some confrontation, sexual deviancy. There's no triumph over them without Christ and His holy word. So here's the summary. All of this goes back to the title of the message, What is Going On in the Evangelical Church? Read it with me. Just look at it. There's a move towards the church believing that, quote, we need other material, other books, other philosophies, other ideas, other helps in dealing with these complex issues. And that is heresy. That is an untruth. We have everything that we need. We have Christ in Him crucified, and we have His complete Word. You know what? Bringing in other things is adding another canon to God's Holy Scripture. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray that You would take this message with me and do with it what You see fit. I pray that You would take it with these people, especially these people, the flock at Maranatha, and do with this message what You see fit to do. I pray, dear Lord, that this church, this preacher, these people would be absolutely motivated, fighting to the death people for the inerrancy of and the sufficiency of God's holy word. And I pray that You would work in the evangelical church, that there'd be a great movement in the evangelical church, not towards other things, but towards Christ and His scripture. Lord, we love You. We praise You. It's in the precious name of Jesus that we pray all of this. Amen.